Today's daf is daf chet. We're going to start at Zayin Amud Bet, toward the bottom, but still not exactly at the bottom, about 15 lines from the bottom.
Michelle,
yeah.
Can you sort of add a name?
Yeah.
Harav Tzvi Chaim Ben Leia Etel.
Okay. So now we're at the line starts Kilo Olam Chosen. So we already read that last time, but that's the beginning of the line. And now we're starting from Darash Bar Kapar. Minaha milte da amru rabbanan hevu mitunim bedin. Where do we learn that that what they say in Pirkei Avot, that the dayanim should be mitunim, they should be temperate, they shouldn't rush into things, should take their time. Dichtiv lo ta'ale b'ma'alot. Okay, this is a pasuk, lo ta'ale b'ma'alot ha'mizbechi. V'samech le ve'ele ha'mishpatim. Okay, if you notice, Parsha Mishpatim starts out immediately after this pasuk. Don't go b'ma'alot, lo yale b'ma'alot ha'mizbechi, asher lo tigale avratcha alav, which means don't run up the steps when you're going up to the mizbeach because you might see the erva. Right? They wore these wide robes. It would be not sanua. And right after that, it says ve'ela mishpatim. So they learn from there that you shouldn't rush into things, right? Just like you shouldn't run up the steps. Eila hamishpatim, when you judge, take things slowly. Amar Eliezer, minayin l'dayan shelo yifsa al rashei am kodesh. How do you know that the dayan shouldn't step on the heads of other people? Okay, we'll see what this means in a second. Sheneamar lo ta'ale b'ma'alot v'samach le ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim. Okay, so it says, again, don't walk up the steps. Okay, and these are the mishpatim, so they understand from here what this means. And in the Beit Midrash, what happened was there were these rows of people. If you remember that whole story where the guy got put right, where he got pushed back seven rows, so all the important people were in the front. So now think about it: if everybody comes in, if you come in later, if you're the important people, you have to kind of literally either physically step over the heads because they're all in the way, or it just means you're going to pass by everybody. So basically, you should have a responsibility to get there first. If you know that you're sitting in the front rows, you should be the one to get there first. Okay? Or maybe it just means the dayan. You know, nowadays, how does it work in the court? The dayan always walks in last. Everybody else is seated. This is the exact opposite. In their system, it was disrespectful if the judge walked in last because they'd have to, you can imagine also, maybe there were space issues. It was very crowded and you had to walk over heads of people. I remember I used to teach in Pelech many, many years ago when they were in a very old building in Jerusalem. And I used to have to climb over desks to get to my chair. I always wondered, I was young, I was in my 20s. I wondered how the older teachers actually got to their desks because I didn't mind climbing over. But so sort of like that. Amar Rabbi, we did that. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, v'item ha-Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Elu klei dayanim. I skipped words. Asher tasim, so now they say, after ve'ela mishpatim, it says, ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim lefneihem. So now they say, why should it be, these are the mishpatim asher tasim? It should be asher tilamdeh mivayele. It should be, these are the mishpatim, right? This is parasha mishpatim. These are the mishpatim that we should be teaching. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, v'itema Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. What do we learn from Eila mishpatim asher tasim? Okay? Elu klei dayanim. These are the kelim of the dayanim. We're now going to learn that the dayanim had kelim. Right nowadays they have a gavel. In those days we're going to see what they were. Rav Huna ki avanafik ledina amar hachi. When Rav Huna would go to judgment, he would say, afiku li mane chanutai, take out the tools from my shop. Which tools do I need? Makil, uritsua, vishofra, visandala. Okay, let's go reverse. Those are easier. Sandal he needs for chalitza. Shofar he needs for the nidoy. If you would put someone in nidoy, they blow the shofar, apparently. The ritsua for malkot, and that's why I went in reverse, because the makel is the most complicated. What did you need? You're going to hit people? Maybe a little like a gavel, you could say. Apparently, the makel, they said there's two reasons. Either malkot, there were two types of malkot. Malkot d'rabbanan, malkot d'oraita. So one was with the ritsua, and one was done with the makel. But more likely, it was just a fear, like an implement he had, so people would be scared of him. Kind of like a gavel, right? That it's this tool of...
Inspires respect.
Right, inspires respect.
Was it like a staff, maybe?
Yeah, it's a staff.
Like a Moshe had
a staff. Yeah, fair. Maybe it was like that. Could be. Okay. Vatzaveh shoftechem ba'etahi. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kineged makel uritzua tehe zariz. Okay, so now we're jumping to Devarim, the Pesukim, where this week's Parsha, Moshe talks about the judges, and it says, Va'atzevet shoftechem ba'etahi. Okay, so now what did the judges need to be commanded? So here's the commandment. Tihei zariz kenega makel ritzua. Now what does this mean? Okay, either it means use them well, okay, and be very inspire fear. Some people say it means the exact opposite. It means you have these implements, but don't use them harshly, right? Don't be physical with your people. And there was one other interpretation which went in that way, which was, don't conduct yourself in a way that will cause you to get lashes, okay? That as a judge, you have to be very careful. So that Tzivoy was, right, the first simple seems to be rough and tough and use it. But the second two, which I prefer much better, seem to indicate, you know, exercise restraint. Shama ben achechem ushfatetem. Okay, this is the continuation of that pasuk. Okay, so I commanded the judges on that day to say, Shama ben achechem. So what does this mean? Amar ushfatetem, right? So listen between your brothers and judge. Amar Rabbi Chanina, azhara lebedin shelo yishma divrei baldin, kodem sheyavo baldin chavero. You can't listen to one person before the other one shows up, right? There's an assumption that one person will lie if the other one's not there, but if they're in court, it's going to have trouble lying to his face. So you should always listen to the Baal Edim when they're both there. Ve'asara le'Baal Din shelo yat'im dvarav le'dayan kodem sheyavo Baal Din chavero. And it's also an azhara to the Baal Din. Now they're going to read this Shamoa as both Shamoa and Shamea, make heard, right? Listen and make heard that also the Baal Din is commanded not to speak before his other Baal Din comes into the room. The Kare Beinami Shamea Ben Achichem, or however you might do the Nikud there, but it means make yourself heard. Rav Kahana Amar Mehacha, he says you learn that second halacha about the Baal Din themselves from Lo Tisa Shem Hashem Lashav. Lo tisa, you could read also as, right, don't bear. Lo tasi, don't deliver something lashav, okay, which means if the other person's not there, that might end up coming out to be false. Ushfatetem tzedek. So now what's the continuation? It says, and ushfatetem tzedek. Amar Rish Lakish, tzedek et hadim v'charka chatcheu. Okay, it's not clear what exactly this means. Some people say the Rambam holds it means review. Before you make your judgment, review everything you said. The Maharshash says, "Stakami lashon pshara," what we saw yesterday. Try to do compromise before you actually do din. So if you can't compromise, then chatcheyu, then issue a gzardin. Ben ishu ben achiv. Again, this is just the whole pasuk. Okay, ushvatem tzedek. Ben ishu ben achiv uben gero. So what's ben ishu ben achiv? Amar Rav Yehuda, afilu ben bayit laliyah. Uben gero, amar Rav Yehuda, afilu ben tanur lekirayim. Okay, so what is this trying to say? So again, lots of different interpretations. If you're going to split inheritance between brothers, and you just say, oh, I'll give one the bayit, I'll give one the aliyah, that's not good enough. You have to make sure that you've evaluated exactly how much it's worth, and that if one's worth a little bit more, the other one has to compensate and deal with all those laws. Ben Gero, that afilu ben tanur lekirayim, some people say, again, you might think, oh, you take the tanur, you take the kirayim. But again, you have to evaluate the amount. It means also, where do they get it from? Gero. You know, ben ish ben achiv is simple. That's, you know, brothers inheriting. But ben gero would be lagor, milashon, to live, which would mean domestic items. Okay, so domestic items, like household items, even in those things, you should be careful. And they say, some people even say that this goes back to the beginning of Bava Batra, that you should know all the laws if you're splitting up these things, how far distance it has to be from the other one's property so that it won't blacken his land. If you remember, with the tanur, it gets very hot, it might blacken the land, so you have to leave distance. You have to know all the laws if you're going to judge a case of this. It's not just as simple as, okay, let's split a 50-50, but there's a lot of different details that you have to be aware of. Lo takiru panim b'mishpat. Okay, don't favor people. Okay, this is also, this pasuk is, I think, also there, right? Yeah, that's also in the same set with the next pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo takirehu. Don't recognize, if your friend is in court with you, don't recognize him as your friend. Rabbi Elazar Omer, lo tinakrehu. If he's your enemy, don't view him as your enemy when you're judging him. Here we're going to have a story. Ushbizichne to Rav, the host of Rav, he had hosted him in his house. Atala kamei didine, he came to the court. Amarlo, Rav says, Lav ushbizichne at, are you not my host? Amarlo in, he said, yes, I am. According to the Masoret HaShas, you have to add in a few words, otherwise it doesn't make sense. Amarlo, my bayit, what are you doing here? What do you need? Amar le, otherwise it's the same person talking in a row. That's why you'd have to have an in between. Amar le, the host says, Dina itle, I have a judgment. I have an issue with somebody. Amar le, psil na lecha ledina. I am not allowed to judge you because you did nice things for me. You took me in. You housed me. I can't judge you. I would be I would not be impartial. Amar le rav le rav kahana, pog dine. Chazye to have a geis. The Rav Kahana puk daini. He says to Rav Kahana, "Go, please, and judge him." Chazye to have a kageis be. But Rav Kahana saw that the guy was very arrogant because what did the guy say? Well, you know, he said, "Rav, I took care of Rav, so obviously magiali." Right? He was one of these people who walked in and said, "Ah, magiali," and therefore he was very arrogant. Amarle, Rav Kahana says to him, "Listen, eat saite saite. If you're going to listen to me, great." Ilo mafkin alach Rav meudnach. I'm going to take Rav out of your ears. Meaning, Rav is not going to be a factor here at all. I want you to know. Don't think that that's going to help you in the court with me. You got to listen to me. Okay, keep going on in these pesukim. Okay, so the pasuk reads like this: Lo takiru panim b'mishpat. That we explained. Kakaton kagadol tishmeun. Okay, listen to big and small and big things. Lo taguru mipnei ish, we darshan that pasuk yesterday. Ki hamishpat lelohim hu, right? The mishpat is for God, we saw that. Vadavar asher yekshem mikem, and the thing that will be difficult from you, tikrivun elai ushmati, right? Moshe says to the judges, whatever will be difficult to you, bring to me. So now we're going to continue darshaning all the sections of that pasuk. Kakatan kagadol tishmun. Amar ish lakish, sheyeh chaviv alecha din shel pruta, kedin shel me'amana. Okay, if someone comes and they're fighting over a pruta, that should be just as important to you as if someone's fighting over 100. Okay, if you want to make it cooler in here, the shalat is there. Lower it. Lemai hilchata, what's the relevance of this lahalacha? Ilema li'iyune be'u mifsike pshita. If you're talking about to look into the case properly and judge it, that's obvious that you have to treat a small thing just like you would a big thing. So what does it mean? Elalak dume. You can't say, oh, I have these two cases in front of me. The one for a pruta came first, but you know what? The one for 100 is obviously more significant. I'm going to put the pruta one at the back of the line, and I'm going to first judge the 100 one. No, you can't do that. Lo taguru mipnei ish. They're going to repeat one again. There's a debate whether this is part of the text or not. Amar Rav Hanan, al tachnis divarecha mipnei ish, right? Don't withhold stuff from because of an ish, because whether you're worried about, remember, if you're the Talmid, don't withhold if your rabbi is judging a case and you think there's something he's not noticing. Some people say this isn't here because this was on the previous page, and really, it was just quoting the beginning to get to the continuation, which is, ki hamishpat lelohim hu. Amar Rav Chama Rabbi Hanina, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here's a strong line. Hashem said, Lo dayan l'rishayim shenotlim mizeh mamon unotnim lezeh shelo kadin. It's not bad enough that the rishayim are taking money from people who shouldn't, right? And they're giving money. They're taking money from people's hands and giving to other people's hands. Ela shematrichim oti lachzir mamon lebaalav. Okay, but in other words, we're saying here that if people judge wrongly in court, God is saying, I am ultimately responsible. It's not bad enough that they're doing it, but they're making me be responsible for, you know, getting the money back to the person. God is basically saying, and this, you know, obviously God's not speaking, but what the rabbis are darshaning is that ultimately God is responsible for what goes on in the courts. Okay? I wanted to connect this in this book, Fresh Fruit and Vintage Wine, which we make reference to here and there by Yitzhak Blau. He basically says a bunch of interesting things about this and connecting it with yesterday's stuff. And what he says is that this concept of, on the one hand, there's the judges should feel like they're before God and that God is a part of this whole judgment. And on the other hand, we saw that that could put the fear of God in them to the extent that they won't want to judge at all. And that there's this struggle, really. What?
Tension,
thank you. There's this tension between, on the one hand, feeling the fear of God, and on the other hand, not letting it intimidate you. And what he quotes in here, first he quotes from Moshe Feinstein, who brings this up in his introduction to the Igrot Moshe, where he talks about the tension between, on the one hand, you know, you're scared of making a mistake in ruling, and on the other hand, learned people need to make decisions and write Piskei Halakha. So there's also this tension there, which is an obvious, you know, next level. But then he takes it to two more places. The next one is Rav Avadya Yosef, who takes it to doctors. And the doctors might feel, oh, how could I possibly perform this surgery? Because I'll never do it. And then what Rabbi Blau does is he takes it one level farther and he says, this really relates to all of us in our daily lives, that we all have decisions we need to make, and sometimes we're daunted by them. How can we possibly make this decision? And that in decision making, it's the same thing. You have to just go for it. In other words, despite all the fears. And then what he quotes, what all these people basically quote, is the line we saw yesterday, that Ein l'dayan ela mashenav ro'ot. In other words, and that's what's supposed to give you the confidence to make all these decisions and to take on responsibility in all areas of your life, whether it be, you know, small decisions about any, you know, your family or what you're eating for dinner, or, okay, maybe not that simple, but all decisions that come up in your life, you know, and going on to bigger things like doctors and rabbis and poskim and whatever other jobs people have that have level of responsibility toward others. Okay, so here God himself is saying, I also am assuming ultimate responsibility. Amar Rabbi Chanin, Avitam Rabbi Yoshia, Al Davar Zen Ne'enash Moshesh. So now we're continuing along that pasuk. What did the pasuk say? Hadavar Asher Yekshe Mikem Takrivun Elai Ushmativ. Whatever you can't answer, I will answer. Now that's a bit arrogant of Moshe. What do you mean? He has to go to Hashem sometimes also. And because of that, he was punished, and Dafka needed to go to Hashem and didn't know the answer to things. Where do we see this? Shneimar v'yekrev Moshe mishpatan lifnei Hashem with benot tzlafchad. Moshe made it seem like I know everything, but it turns out he was punished by the fact that he didn't know what to do when benot tzlafchad came along. Matkiv l'Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak says, what do you mean this was arrogant of Moshe? Miktiv va'ashmiachem. It doesn't say, and I will teach you. It says, ushmativ. Ushmativ means, and I will go learn it myself. Meaning, if I don't know it, I'll go to God. Okay? So therefore, right, ukti, which means, igmirna gemirna. If I know it, I know it. Ve'ilo, azilnu gemirna. And if not, I'll go and learn it. So Ella, he doesn't think that it was a punishment for Moshe that he didn't know what to do with benot tzlafchad. How does he view it? And he's going to compare two of the cases, there's a bunch of cases where Moshe has to go to Hashem. He compares two of them, the Benot Tzlafchad and the Mikoshesh, the guy who was chopping trees on Shabbat. Ela kiditanya ru'uya parshat nechalot shetikatev al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. It really was supposed to be written by Moshe, which means that Moshe was supposed to have judged the case and known what to do. Ela shezachu Benot Tzlafchad v'nechtav al yadan. But they had the zchut that they were such good people that it was written for them. Same thing, the Mekoshesh should have been written by Moshe, he should have known the answer. But because the Mekoshesh did something wrong, it was written by him. Again, it wasn't written by him, or the Benot Tzlafchad wasn't written by them, but in other words, they get the credit here. Okay, we see how credit can be positive and negative. We've seen this before, that God orchestrates it, that the bad will come from bad people and the good will come from good people. So we see that that's why Benot Tzlafchad got the credit there and the Mekoshesh got the credit by him, to show that bad happens from bad people, you know, bad things come from bad people and the good things come forward from the good people. K'tiv. Now we're continuing along in those pasukim. So that pasuk said that we saw before, Va'atzavet shoftechem ba'etahi. But now, and then we saw the next pasuk, which we just darshened, and the pasuk after that says, so two psukim before it said, and now it says, which sounds like the people. So what does this mean? It seems to contradict one or the other. Okay, it's an azhara for the community that the fear of the dayan should be upon them, and it's an azhara for the dayan, this is a good one, sheyisbol et hatzibur. Okay, and the concept is, what do the shoftim need to be commanded about? So the assumption is they need to be commanded that they have to tolerate all the craziness of people. You know, that people aren't so easy to deal with, and especially in the court when they're fighting over things. And the idea is that they have to learn lisbol et hatzibur. Okay? Ad kama, to what extent do they have to be sovelet hatzibur? So now they bring an analogy. Amar Rabbi Anan, v'itemar Rabbi Shabtai, kasher yisaha omanet hayonek. Like a father carries a young child. Okay, now one of the explanations I saw was that when the child, when a father carries a small child, the child often kicks. And that even if the people are kicking you in court, you have to tolerate it, and you have to love them like a father would love his child, basically. Ktiv ki ata tavo, uktiv ki ata tavi. Now we're talking about leadership, we're getting to Yoshua. It says, Yoshua, you're going to tavo, okay? This is, right, in Pasuk, in Dvarim Lamed Aleph, it says here, Vayikra Moshe Yoshua, you have to really read the rest of the Pasuk to understand. Vayomre elav leinei kol Yisrael, chazak v'amatz, ki ata tavo et ha'am hazeh. You're going to go, it sounds like, et ha'am hazeh, with the people, el ha'aretz asher nishba Hashem lavotam. Batan tanchila. This isn't the next Pasuk, but the next Pasuk they bring is later in the same parak. Vayitzav et Yoshua b'nun vayomer chazak ve'emat ki ata tavi et b'nei Yisrael. You're going to lead the people into the land. So, what's the story? Are you with the people? Are you leading the people? Amar v'yochanan, amar lo Moshe le'yoshua. So, Rabbi Yochanan says what really happened was Moshe said to Yoshua, Atavaz kenim shabador imahem. And so Moshe said to Yoshua, you and this kenim shabador imahem, as you're going to go with them,
and lead with them.
But is there some other part of this? One second. Lotzarer alehem. Right. In other words, you're going to be with this kenim, and you're not going to be on top of them. You're going to go with them. Okay. So that the first part was about with the people. Amar lo kadosh baruch hu. Tom makel v'hachal kod kedam. Okay, so take a makel and hit them on their heads. Okay, so how does this work exactly, the contradiction?
Whether you're leading with them or whether you're above them.
It sounds like he's saying both, though.
Yes,
right?
That's the contradiction.
Did he go to Am? No, but he's supposed to explain it. One second. Right, that's what it means. Atavas kenim shabador imcha means that you're going to do things not on your own decisions, but with using the etzah of this kenim. Okay? In other words, atata vo eta'am, meaning come to them with a decision that you made together with this kenim. You're not doing this on your own. You're not the leader on top. But when you bring B'nai Israel in, you want to get them to listen to you. So at that point, you have to hit them on their heads. And when you're doing the decision making, you need to have a lot of yotzim, right? This is like any leader, right? You have to have a lot of people helping you make decisions. But when you get up there to speak, you have to instill fear. It's you and only you. Dabar echad lador ve'ein shnei dabarin lador. You have to have one speaker. You can't get up in front of the people and say, we're all the leaders. That's impossible. You need to have one leader. So when you make decisions, you have to include everybody. But when you get up to say what your decision is, you have to get up with one person. Otherwise, you know, there'll be room for a lot of gray.
By the way, that's the makel.
Right, here's the makel. Tom makel v'hachad kokadam. So first of all, whether it means actually hit them is also a good question. Is he using it to actually hit them, or does it mean figuratively, right, show authority? Probably that's more the meaning. Okay, now they're bringing in a braita. We're moving on to something different, which is we had dinya mamonot b'shlosha, and we saw about bitzua and pshara b'shnayim v'acha b'shlosha. Now we have another thing that's b'shlosha, zimun b'shlosha. Now you would think zimun, right? Sounds like a zimun. We do with three people. That's not what they're talking about. The Gemara is even going to suggest maybe that's what they're talking about, and then obviously it also wouldn't belong here. My zimun, ilemar birkat zimun, if we're talking about the brachas of the zimun, v'hatanya zimun u'birkat zimun b'shlosha. Okay, it says in the Braita, there's Zimun and there's Berkata Zimun. So, B'chitema Perusha Kamefarish, maybe it means Zimun, which is translated as Berkat Zimun, and they really are one and the same. My Zimun, Berkat Zimun, V'hatanya doesn't say in the Braita, Zimun Mishlosha and Berkat Zimun Mishlosha, which means each are two separate things. Ela, my Zimun, Azmune Ledin. When you subpoena someone to court, it also has to be done Mishlosha. Now it makes sense that it belongs here. Ki hadama Rava, like Rava said, Hane beitzlata dayani diyatve va'az diyatve. There were three dayanim that sat and decided someone had to be brought to court. Va'azel shlicha de beidina. They sent the shaliach beitin to go tell the person, you're subpoenaed to court. Va'amar, and he said, mipume dechad. He says to the person, so-and-so summoned you to court. Now, if he says it like that, lo amar klum. Ad da'amar mishmei dekulu. He has to say, this judge and this judge and this judge summoned you to court. Why? Because it could be, now what does this mean? Yes, the person should come anyway, but if they don't come, can they put them in nidui, excommunicate them for not showing up in court? So now the question is, what did the person assume? If you told the person, this judge wants you in court, the person could say, well, who's that judge? One judge can't judge me, so can't be. You're really telling me something serious, because there is no such thing as a court of one judge. Again, there is mumchim, but, you know, yachim mumche, but assuming he doesn't know who that is, and he doesn't know it's yachim mumche, the assumption is, if three judges said it, then you have to invite him by three judges. Otherwise, the guy doesn't assume necessarily that this is legit. So, ad amar mishmei dekulu. Okay, so hane mile, but now they narrow the focus. Hane mile below yoma dedina. That's if you're inviting him on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. What were the days of the court? Monday, Thursday. If you say on Monday, Thursday, this guy wants you in court, but yoma dedina late lamba, then he can't say that I didn't think you were inviting me to a real court because that was the day the courts convened. So obviously you were inviting him to a real court. But if you say it on a day that's not the days the court meet, then you have to say that there's three people who are inviting you to come, because otherwise he won't assume that the courts were sitting. Okay, after this long diversion all about compromising and judges and whether the standards for judges and how should judges, what should they be thinking about when they're judging, now, and all the dangers of judges getting letting the power get in the way, now we're going back to the Mishnah. We're up to Tashlume Kefel B'Shlosha. So Shalach le'Rav Nachman bar Avchista le'Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu. He says, please explain to me. Dine knasot bekama. How many people do you need to judge dine knasot? Okay, now, Tashlume Kefel is a knas, right? The Kefel part is the knas. My kamibayale, what was he asking him? Ha'anantnam b'shlosha. We already know that it's b'shlosha because Kefel is in the Mishnah here. So, can't be, that was his question. Ela yachid mumche kamibayale. He was asking about a yachid mumche. Da'in dine knasot olo. Can a yachid mumche, who we said is equivalent to three dayanim, then was he allowed to judge dine knasot? So what does he answer him? Amar le, okay, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov answers Rav Nachman bar Chista. Tanitua says in the Braita, Tashlume in the Mishnah, Tashlume kefal v'tashlume arav chamisha b'shlosha. My shlosha, what shlosha, what does it mean shlosha here? Ilema shlosha hed yotot. If it means three regular people, Hamar Vua Davucha, the father of your father, your grandfather said, Mishmei Derav, Afilu Asara Behen Hedyotot, Psulin Ledine Knesot. Even 10 Hedyotot can't do a din. Elamumchin, so it must be Mumchim. In other words, Knas can't be judged by Hedyotot. And where did we see this before? We saw it that the rabbis who don't have Smicha in Bavel can't judge dine knasot. Okay, even though you might have called them mumchin also, but according, right, even in Bavel, since they didn't have the technical smicha that they gave in Eretz Yisrael, that was something that gave them the power to do knasot. So therefore, they say, if even 10 hedyoto can't do knasot, so obviously when the Mishnah says shlosha, they mean shlosha mumchin, which means yachid mumche wouldn't work for dine knasot. Okay, we learned the Mishnah. We said there were some problems here. What exactly the case is? What's going on? So now we're going to learn about this motzi shemra. Why it has to be besrim v'shlosha? V'chiyeshbo dinei nefashot mayhave. So first of all, Chachamim said motzi shemra is besrim v'shlosha. You have to know the words of the Mishnah. They say because sheyeshbo. What's the word? Just find it. What's the issue? A guy comes to court and says, my wife, I suspect that she had znut with someone else in between the time she was engaged to me until the time we got married. If he doesn't have proof, he's believed, okay? He's believed to say this because there's a chazaka that ein adam oseh si'udah He's not going to make a big wedding ceremony for nothing. It's, otherwise, he would have said something before. So therefore, now that he doesn't find her betulim, he can and he says she was with someone. It must be something happened then. He doesn't need witnesses. Now, again, for what doesn't he need witnesses? He can basically divorce her, and he doesn't have to give her the ketubah money. Okay? If he brings witnesses, then she can get killed, because then it's an Aram Urasa who slept with someone else, and she can get Din Skila. If the witnesses are made to be Zomimim, right, so then they get killed. Okay? If it turns out the witnesses are false witnesses, or the husband's claim is proven that it was not true, then the husband has to marry, you know, he has to stay married to her, he can't divorce her. He has to pay the father 100 sla'im and as a knas. Okay, so that's what happens. So it's a very confusing case because there's money involved, either for the ketubah money or for the husband having to pay the father of the woman money. There could be death involved. So because of that, it's a confusing case. So there's a machloket Tanakama and there's a machloket between Rabbi Meir, who says Motzi Shem Rabbi Shlosha, and Chachamim, who say it's Be'esrim Rabbi Shlosha. And Chachamim's claim is because it has Dinei Nefashot. So now we're going to talk about this more. V'chiyesh bo Dinei Nefashot Mayhave. So what if it has Dinei Nefashot? In other words, they're assuming right now that we're talking about just for the ketubah money. In other words, if he's trying to claim, I don't want to pay my ketubah money, so what if potentially this could lead to Dinei Nefashot? Right now, it's not Dinei Nefashot. Right now, it's just plain Dinei Mamonot. So why would you send it to a 23 court? Amar Ula, b'choshishin l'laz kamifligay. Their machloket is about, are we worried about laz? What is laz? The rumors will be spread about this. And maybe if the husband starts claiming, listen, I don't have witnesses, but I know this is the case, and I don't want to pay her the ketubah money, then people might hear about it, and what will happen? Maybe witnesses will come forward and say, oh, I saw her with this other man, blah, blah, blah. And then the case will become a Dinei Nefashot case, in which case, let's just start from Esrim V'Shlosha. So, that's the machloket. Choshashin l'laz. Rabbi Meir, Savar, ain choshashin l'laz. We're not worried that people are going to hear and come forward and testify, and it'll turn into a Dinei Nefashot case. Rabbanan savre choshashin l'laz, and Rabbanan say, we are worried, and that's why it has to go to 23. So this would explain why Rabbi Meir says 3, and they say 23. Second option to understand this, Rav Amar, no. Kuleyama l'laz lo cheshina. We're not worried, oh, what happens if this ends up going to 23? So we'll go to a court of 23 at that point. V'hacha b'choshashin l'chvodan shol rishonim kamifligay. Okay, they're worried about kvodan shel rishonim. What's the case? V'hacha b'mayaskinan. It's a unique case. What happened in this case? Kigon de'ichnef esrim v'talta l'meidan dinei nefashot. They got together to judge with 23 because they thought it was going to lead to dinei nefashot. And what happened? Turns out, right, the Baal said, I'm going to bring edim. So they get 23 people together. And lo and behold, he doesn't bring any edim. No edim comes forward. So what happens now? V'ibdor. Now what happens? All the dayanim start leaving, separating, right? That means to separate. They all go home. V'amar lehu, and he grabs 3 of them on their way out the door, and he says, wait, mi hadina dine mamano. But wait, we still, fine, the witnesses didn't come forward, but we still have a dine mamano case because I don't want to pay the ketubah money. Okay? So that's why we're worried about kvodan shel rishonim. If we started with 23, we don't want this judgment to end with just 3. So since we started dine nefashot, we have to continue with the 23 that we started with. That's what Chachamim say. And Rabbi Meir says, no, this becomes a totally different case. In other words, it started one way, but it went a different way, and now it moved from dinei nefashot to dinei mamonot. So the earlier ones aren't going to care that you're now judging the end of the case without them, because it's not really the end of the case. It's a different case. It's dinei mamonot. Okay?
Do they ever say how long they have to have been married before he can bring such a case? Like,
oh.
Could it be 10 years? And he said, you know, I remember.
That's a good question. I don't remember. We dealt with this. I think it's supposed to be right. I mean, in general, the case is where he does it right away.
Okay.
I think it has to be done right away, but I don't remember all the details about it. It's a good question. So, first of all, I just want to point out that according to this, the Mishnah is talking about not any Motzi Shemra case. It's talking about a Motzi Shemra that started as a Dinei Nefashot and moved to a Dinei Mamonot. Okay, follow? So it's not exactly the simple case according to the second interpretation. So now we're going to bring a koshi on one of the shitot. B'chachamim omrim, based on another braita, b'chachamim omrim, tiva'o mamon b'shlosha, tiva'o nefashot b'esrim b'shlosha. Okay? If he wanted just money, he was claiming just the ketubah, I don't want to pay my ketubah money, then it's judged b'shlosha. But if he's saying, I have witnesses, then, and it might lead to death, then it's going to be b'esrim b'shlosha. So bishlema l'rabba. Why does it say rabba? Okay, I guess it's there's a debate whether this is rabba or rava. Bishlema l'rabba tiva o mamon tchila b'shlosha. Tiva o nefasho tchila afilu mamon b'esrim b'shlosha. Right? It works perfectly with the last shita we just saw. Because if he's coming just for dine mamonot, it goes b'shlosha. If he's coming for dine nefashot and it turns into dine mamonot, then we have to keep it because of fudan shel rishonim. But Ella Leula Kasha, right? But what did Ula say? Even if you're coming just for the ketubah money, we're worried Choshishin Lelaz that Adam will come forward and it'll turn into Dine Mamonot. That doesn't make any sense with this Braita that says that according to Chachamim, if you Tiva'o Mamon and you're just coming for the ketubah, you do it Bishlosha. So it doesn't seem to work. So Ella Leula Kasha. So I'm a Rava. Aniva Arisha Shebachavura Targimna. Okay, me and the lions of the smartest of the group explained it. Umanu, and who's the Arisha B'chabura? We've seen this a lot of times. They call somebody something and then they say, who is this? Akedekach, that we saw this long list the other day about every time it says this phrase, what does it mean? So who is the Arisha B'chabura? Rav Chiya Bar Avin. And what did we explain here? By the way, this might explain why it's Rava and not Rava, because Rava is explaining Ula's Shita, whereas Rava was the other Shita, right? Sometimes the other side comes and explains the other side, but not always, right? You remember why Rava and Rava always get confused, because they often just abbreviated them, Resh Bet Chupchik. So nobody knew whether it was Rava or Rava, okay? Often they figure it out based on who's arguing with who, because it was generational. Rava was one generation before Rava, which doesn't always prove it, because they sometimes argue with the same people. This doesn't always work. It's one generation off. They're still in the Beit Midrash together. So now what does he answer? Hacha b'mayas kinan, shevi habal edim shezinta, ve'evi ha'av edim v'hizimum le'edei habal. Okay, so let's explain now before we go on. The husband brought edim that she was mazneh, okay, that she slept with someone. Then, hevi ha'av edim v'hizimum le'edei habal. And then the father brought witnesses that knocked out, the father of the girl brought witnesses that knocked out those, so they became Edim Zomimi. Bali Gvot Mamon Mibal Bishlosha. So now they want to get the money, the knas that the husband now owes the father. So he goes to get the money from the Baal Bishlosha. Ubimkom Nefashot Be'esrim Bishlosha. And in a case where it's going to get to Dine Nefashot, okay, so wait, this is, one second. Yeah, this is when the, according to this, I guess they're just saying in any, right, Tva'o Nefashot B'Esrim Mishlosha, that's when it's about Dine Nefashot. But in this case, it's a case where the father's, and it's what happened, the case started in a court of 23, and the husband brought witnesses. Then the father's witnesses came, knocked out those witnesses. And then the father came with a new claim now and says, well, based on that, you owe me money. So he goes, the part that owes him money is Bishlosha, okay? But if the case was about Dine Nefashot in the beginning, it's done Be'esrim Bishlosha. Okay? So according to this, just one second. Right. So,
because the witnesses were knocked out, there's no concern that it will become Dine Nefashot.
Right, exactly. I guess there's no concern at this point anymore, right? We're not worried about Laz because it's not going to happen anymore, right?
No one would dare come forward.
Right, exactly. Once it was proven that these were false witnesses, so then it was proven. Okay, so this is another explanation of Shitat Ula. Okay? Now we're going to have another explanation. Okay, we're going to continue. We're going to have various different explanations of our Mishnah. Okay, we're going to keep on. It's going to go on through tomorrow. Several different interpretations. Okay, so we had so far. We have either it's a classic case of Choshishin Lelaz or not Choshishin Lelaz, right? Or it's a case where we gathered. We started with Asrim V'Shlosha, and then we moved to three, and then we're concerned. L'Kvodan Shel Rishonim, according to Chachamim. Then we said that we had a bit of a problem with the first Shita of Choshishin Lelaz. So then, Rava gave an interpretation to explain the Braita according to Ula, okay? That it was more than just Choshishin Lelaz. It was, right, so one second. According to this, how does it relate to Choshishin Lelaz? That he brings Edim Shazinta. So according to this, right, B'mkom Nefashot would be Asrim V'Shlosha, but the later, if it doesn't have that element, it would be three. So now Abaye gives a different interpretation. Amaya Amar Dekule Alma Choshishin Lelaz Umishum Kvodan Shel Rishonim. Those are not machlokot here, okay? Both what Rabba said, and what Ula said. Neither of those are issues here. Hacha b'mayaskinan, kigon de'atru bastam. The issue in our Mishnah is that Stam, they said to her when she was about to, you know, before she, right, you have to have, in order to convict her, that there were edim that warned her before the act. So the Edim warned her. Okay, we're going to get a lot into Dinei Hatra'ah, and here we're going to see some Rimazim about issues that come up with Hatra'ah. So she has to be warned. Now, what does she have to be warned? She has to be warned that if you do this, you're going to get Skila. Now, what happened? They said, if you do this, you're going to get killed. But they didn't say you're going to get killed by Skila. The High Tana Hudatanya, and the Mishnah, so there's a Machloket in our Mishnah. It's going to follow another Machloket we have. Ushar Kochayve Mitot Shebetorah, Aim mitinotan ella be'eda, which is by judges, ve'edim, ve'hatra'a, va'ad shiodi'u shuchayav mitah be'beitin. They have to say, the edim have to warn that you can get killed in the beitin. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad shiodi'uhu be'eze mitahu neherag. Okay, and therefore, if the case comes before us, and there's edim who didn't warn her properly, comes Rabbi Meir, and he says, well, this will never get to Dinei Nefashot, she'll never be killed, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that she has to be warned for the exact death she was going to be killed by, and if you didn't, then she won't get killed. So he says, in that situation, again, now we're really narrowing the situation of the Mishnah, in that situation, it goes to 3, and Chachamim will say it still goes to 23, because she could still get killed. Rapap Amar, our last explanation for today. Hacha b'isha chaveira askinan. It's about a knowledgeable woman. V'kamif legei b'plugta de Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. V'rabanan. Titanya Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda omer. Chaver ein tzarich hatra'ah. This is why I told you we're going to get into all dinei hatra'ah here. There's a classic machloket here. What is hatra'ah for? Is hatra'ah so that you can't say I didn't know? And if it's so you can't say, I didn't know, well, if you're knowledgeable, then the assumption is you knew. So if you're a chaver, as opposed to an ama'aretz, meaning you're a knowledgeable person, yo halacha. So here this woman was knowledgeable, she knew the law, and yet, there were no edei hatra'ah. So if there were no edei hatra'ah, could she get killed based on this or not? If you say, chaver ein sari hatra'ah, lefisha lo nitra hatra'ah, lo nitna hatra'ah, ele lavchim en shogeg lemezid. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says, the only reason you need hatra'ah is so that we can differentiate, was this shogeg or was it mezid? Did you know what you were getting yourself into? If you're a chaver, you don't need hatra'ah. So if that's the case, then if there was no hatra'ah, she could still get killed. So that's chachamim. Chachamim hold like Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda that says that you don't need hatra'ah. And then again, our Mishnah would only be in a case, it would be in a case number one, where there was no hatra'ah. And it would be in a case where the woman was a chavera, she knew halacha. And here you see that women were knowledgeable, right? There was such a thing. We've seen this a number of times already. And the other opinion, Rabbi Meir would hold that she needs hatra'ah. In this case, didn't have hatra'ah. And therefore, it goes to Beit Din Shel Shlosha because it will never get to the point where she'll get the death penalty. Okay, tomorrow we're going to see there's going to be altogether 8 interpretations. If I have a chance, maybe I'll actually chart them out for tomorrow from the beginning. The 8 ways of reading this Mishnah, what the machloket is between them.